I think you scared your mom.
Probably.
All right. Well, welcome to Pint Sized Art History, a podcast where we drink beers, talk about art, go off on tangents, and then Squid later edits them out.
Yep.
Here with me today is
Squid. Hello. I'm always here.
Yes. And
Mama Squid.
Hey.
Yeah.
Mama in the house.
I know. After a year of trying, I'm finally well.
Our biggest fan, now our best guest.
Yes. I'm so excited to be here. I'd like to thank everyone who's ever been a part of my life for bringing me to this moment.
Yes. The and most important this, moment.
We're going to Disneyland.
I don't know that I'd want to go to Disneyland right
now. No.
It's dangerous. I've heard they've been selling out ridiculously, though.
I would never want to go to Disneyland.
Ever?
Nope.
That's fair.
No desire.
We don't like Disney. Or no, Ohio. Disney.
Exactly.
Or Ohio. Sorry, no longer Ohio listeners.
I scared them off.
I know.
So those who are new, now you know what it's about. We drink and we talk about art. Today, we're going to be talking about an artist that Sherry and I have differing feelings on. Although I will let you know that as I started writing for this episode, I was like, I can see more of where you come from. Still iffy. But we'll be talking about Jackson Pollock, a.k.a. my kid could do that, but they didn't.
Right.
True.
Mm-hmm.
I really have no feelings about Jackson.
Except his art you like?
You know, I find it fascinating. But yeah, my kid could do that. Right?
She could not.
You know, what's funny is Jackson by himself couldn't even do that.
Didn't his wife do a lot of it?
Kind of. We're going to go into it. There's been a lot of influence in Jackson Pollock's life.
Behind every good man is a better woman.
Exactly.
True.
In this case, exactly. But first, step two of the podcast after introducing ourselves is what we're drinking. So, Sherry, do you want to do the honors as the honored guest?
Sure. I am going to drink Pipeworks Layers Are Key Hazy IPA. And I love hazy IPAs.
You don't have to lie on this podcast.
Oh. Was that good?
Yes, but I'm so sorry I talked over it.
You spoke over the moment.
Oh, you have your cup backwards.
Is there a way to have a cup backwards?
Yeah, she held the can upside down, but it's fine.
That's okay. You're just getting that good, good aeration.
It has 2 inches of beer and 8 inches of foam.
Just the way I like it.
Just the way I like it.
Now, if I take a drink, I can say, got beer? Because I will have a beer mustache.
Good. And Squid, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Colors and Shapes from Riverlands, but it's spelled Colors. You know, like the British way. Colorsa. I don't know why, because this is not a European beer.
Did you get it on your computer?
Just myself.
You always nail the pour, can I just say? I've been listening to this podcast and she has not messed up one pour.
Thank you.
Out of the amounts of times, I think it's because she's not afraid to get it on the microphone.
I'm really not.
It bounces a lot there.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so this time I am drinking Convey Ideas, a rainbow sherbet inspired smoothie sour. And it's by Company Values by Corporate Ladder Brewing Company. There's a lot of names. Oh, I think I'm just supposed to... For a smoothie beer sour thingy, aren't you supposed to, like, roll it or whatever?
Oh, well, it's a little late for that now.
I know. After I opened it, I was like, isn't that what you're supposed
swirl.
To do?
Give it the old...
With the 1 centimeter of allowed space.
Yeah.
From the
pour it upside down like I did.
That'll stir it.
No, I don't trust my... I suppose I should stop talking as I do this. I don't trust my pouring skills. That one also was fizzy.
Good. That is the oddest color beer I've ever seen.
It looks delicious.
It's because it's a smoothie
beer. It looks like a hot mess, like Jackson Pollock's art.
It is. I mean, it's got... Probably his wife, too. It's ale with raspberry, orange, lime, and vanilla.
It looks like it is going to taste like it's thick, but feel like it's not. Is that weird?
Maybe.
It's going to have feel body, like it should but have it'll pulp. Feel thin. It's probably at the bottom of the can.
Probably. Now I can stir it.
There's always sediment in the bottom.
Especially with IPAs, I've noticed.
Yes, for gross. Your dad's IPAs. I sometimes get chunks of stuff out when I'm rinsing yeah. out the cans for recycling, and it has really put me off beer.
Same. Yeah. No, well, it hasn't put me off beer at all, but same.
You're a better person than all of us, Sherry. I never rinse out my cans.
Single-handedly trying to save the planet.
Yeah. You don't rinse out the cans in California because they do it by weight.
Ah, you want those chunks in there in California.
For getting your money back. It's harder to get your money back in Illinois.
Yeah, they don't...
They don't have a program.
No, you just have to collect a lot of cans.
Yeah, and get a place to let you sell it to them.
Yeah.
Not easy. All right, so now we get to start. Would either of you like to let us know what you know about Jackson Pollock?
It's a lot to do with sperm. That's what I know. That's it.
That's because you've heard me rant.
Yeah, I must have missed that. The only thing I know about Jackson Pollock, I have already talked to you about, but I learned that he used a lot of geometry in his art, even though when you look at it, it looks like your kid could do it. It seems like it may have had a little more intent behind it than you originally think when you see it. So,
and he had a blue period. Didn't he have a blue period?
I'm not familiar with his blue period, but no. Most artists seem to go through one.
Did he name them after colors then?
No, so at first he started with the names, but then he was like, having a name puts it too much into what you're supposed to see. So, like, there was one painting called, like, the Blue Pillars.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
That's one I think we're going to look at that I have on there. But then he started naming them after numbers. So you went into seeing the painting without any preconceptions or looking for things in it. Because if you have not... recognize the name Jackson Pollock, you have probably seen some of his works. He is the man who does, like, the drip splatter paints that everyone says their child could do. And if I feel like he's kind of drifted out of public eye recently. I feel like I saw more stuff of his.
Is he still alive?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's why.
He died in a car decomposing. Because he drank too much.
Oh, wow.
Again, PSA.
That's a way to go.
No drinking and driving after podcasting.
Or after anything, really.
Period.
This is not permission to drink and drive after the other activities if you're not podcasting.
Please podcast responsibly.
Exactly.
That would be a great
tagline. That should be our tagline. Uh-huh. Yeah. Just the moms coming out with the best ideas. My mom last time was, because she started listening now, was like, you should put the pictures on the Instagram. Because she was like, I heard you were on Twitter and I thought that's where you put the pictures, but I don't know what it looks like or where to go. And she's like, you should put the photos on Instagram so people can follow along. And I'm like, Mom, great idea. We're going to do that.
Very good idea.
So also, so you listeners know, the photos will be on our Instagram, which is
although it's size way more interesting to just listen and then paint them yourself.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah. Sherry is who made that beautiful, beautiful picture that we tweeted and posted on Instagram.
Good old El Greco.
Yeah, Squid changed it from our matching lock screens to that because it was so good.
It's not my lock screen anymore, though.
I'm here to please.
Was beautiful, though.
I do love it. We spent a good amount of time going over it the last time we recorded, too, because it was just so good.
I know. I loved that episode.
Yeah, it was fun. All right, so Pollock was born in Cody, Wyoming. And he was known for that splattery painting style. It was also called all-over painting, drip painting, action painting. I feel like you see a lot of people now doing similar type stuff. They'll do the, like, pour painting and that sort of thing. It's similar to that, except this, I think, had more viscosity. So it was thicker. You saw the stripes and everything rather than the pours where it blends together. We see people, it looks like marbling almost.
Yep. I have one hanging on my wall.
Yes, and it's beautiful. I can't see it from here. I only see the corner.
It's on the other wall. Oh, a poor painting. That's my abstract cityscape.
Oh, I do also love that one.
It was very cheap painting.
Yes.
Good old but poor it's paintings.
So fun. So poor.
That was a bad pun. Oh my
but
God.
Affordable.
It is affordable. Not really. Art is expensive. Especially paints. So, what I didn't realize is Pollock had a formal education in art. His earlier stuff does not look like what we would think of his. But it is similar. Like, you can see some of the start of it in there. We're going to look at one of his pieces. It's circa 1942 to 43. It's called Male and Female, so it's a portraiture of sorts.
I cannot imagine him doing any sort of portraiture, but again, I know nothing about him besides his name and that he used geometry to mix splatter paint. So
fair.
There we go.
Boom.
Ta-da!
Oh yes, male and female.
So, male and female. Pollock, like I said, he struggled with alcoholism. He had a therapist who used Jungian-type therapy, psychotherapy. Squid, do you want to tell us about that as a therapist?
Carl Jungian. What a guy.
Yeah. Have you had psychotherapy? Is that why you can tell us about it?
Yes, I am well-versed in being psychoanalyzed.
Oh, you just had a degree in psychology.
Yeah, way to put me on the spot for things that I don't remember from my degree.
This is a whole podcast about things I don't remember from my degree.
Carl Jung was a very interesting man with a very interesting philosophy that I wouldn't ascribe to as far as human personality or just the world goes. So that makes sense for Jackson Pollock.
Because I don't know what they do for that type of psychotherapy. I just know you're either Freudian or you're the other.
Well, I mean, not quite, but Carl Jung is the one that did, the philosophy that later became Myers-Briggs.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure Carl Jung was part of that, right?
I just want to go on the record to say I have no idea, but they're usually wrong.
Psychologists?
Myers-Briggs?
No, you too.
Oh.
I mean... Yes.
I will Google it. I mean, I know Carl Jung did, a lot of things, but I want to say
But I don't know what type of therapy that is. But the therapy influenced his work, basically.
I was right!
Good Suck job. It. I will.
when you get an unsolicited group chat, suck it.
Indeed.
So are you going to tell us?
Oh, well, he had many philosophies. He was a very well-known psychologist, but Myers-Briggs and MBTI was based off of one of his views of the four functions of psychological thought.
Okay, so there's four functions of psychological thought, which they focused on with Pollock. I don't know, but that's where he started really making
sensation,
work.
Sensation, probably.
Probably. Because can you guys see the figure in this? So
yes.
Okay. Do you want to describe it then?
No.
Sherry, would you like to try?
When you say, do you see the figure, do you mean a person?
Yeah, there's two in there. Huh. There's a male and a female.
Interesting. I'm not sure that I see a person.
I think I see both.
I don't think the psychotherapy worked with him.
No, not considering the ending.
I can try to describe it, but I don't see people.
Yeah,
I see dead people.
Since I spent a lot of time staring at this, trying to find the people in prep for this, I could describe it. So we have what looks like started as a blue canvas in which there are several geometrical shapes. And some random math moving across, but mostly all the geometrical shapes go up or down, it's flows in a pillar sense. There's two black longer figures, that are the figures themselves, the male and the female. On our left side, we have what looks like a skyscraper that is shooting the moon.
No, it's a book.
Fireworks are coming out.
I think it's a book with an antenna.
Okay.
Yeah.
A book with an antenna shooting the moon, or the moon is spilling paint onto the book, to the right of which is the female figure, which, if we start at the top and work our way down, it's easier to see, but you see her eyelashes and eyes into her neck, which is the red. You can see the curve of her body start to go down.
Those are eyes.
Yeah. Up on top. And then there's like her boobs and her stomach.
And then you go down and her feet are there.
I don't see her feet, but
I see toes, yellow toes.
Yeah. Oh, down there.
She's tall.
Yes.
She's,
I saw the man.
She goes from way past the bottom of the book to way yellow to the toes. Top of the moon.
I mean, to be fair, I'm taller than most books.
Good for you.
Thanks.
You're not taller than much, but you are taller than most books.
But it's true.
Not coffee table books.
Okay. I'd say compared to the book, she's relatively tiny.
She is.
Yes.
She's thinner than a book.
She is in that one, yeah. Between them, I don't know what's happening.
Triangles. I mean, diamonds. I know my shapes.
A triangle. A diamond is two triangles stuck together, so.
The three diamonds are maybe the space that's created between their chins touching and their boobs touching and their groins touching, and then that's like the air pockets in between their bodies. Maybe, I don't know, but
or maybe he just grew up in a house that was built in the 60s and that was
or
his
they're
front
flying
door.
Kites. I don't know. It could be a door.
Yeah. Isn't that not like
it
a classic?
It looks like a smiley face on
but
the
that's
top
like,
one.
That's like a classic 60s or 70s door right there.
That is.
Three diamond windows stacked on top of each other.
But he was born before that, so.
But was he painting before that?
I don't
Probably.
Know.
He was around for a while.
Yeah, he was painting in the 40s.
Ugh, they had doors in the 40s.
That's true, they sure did. And then we move into the right side, where the man is full of math. He's a
I'm
pillar
offended
of math.
By that, by the way, because I think he is insinuating that men think more than women.
I don't think.
I think he's doing like left brain, right brain. Women are more left brain. Men are more right brain. We got the mathematics and the creativity.
Can I still be offended?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I think Danny's entire purpose of being here is to make you offended by Jackson Pollock. All right.
You have succeeded.
No, I didn't even say that. She came up with that one herself.
I don't think that black part is part of his body.
I think it is.
His is the pink part.
You think it's the little pink part?
Yeah.
His little man pecs?
Oh. Well,
that's
then
clearly a body.
Definitely. Yeah.
And his toes are pink at the bottom.
That's true, yeah. So that could
is
be.
True.
So maybe
and his head
a,
is like upside down screaming like some sort of Guernica kind of painting.
It does look like he has horns.
Screaming. I don't know. He looks like he's in pain.
His face is way harder to see than hers. Because as we know, men don't have eyelashes.
Or faces.
Yeah.
From what I understand. Yeah, I don't see his face, but I saw his body. His body is very clearly
outlined.
I think
the little black dots up in the yellow area are his eyes, and his mouth is up closer to the top. So, like, his head is upside
down. Oh,
so
he's like,
ah! Yeah, that's the way. I think he's like,
is his eye?
I think that's his mouth, and the two little black dots are his eyes there.
These ones?
Yeah, I think, that's why I think he's, like, upside down screaming.
And he's running away.
I mean, if you were being pushed into a triangular door, you might be screaming also.
There's her nose.
Maybe she's eating his head.
That is her nose.
And that might be a lip.
Like
I love my lips.
Like if that other circle is to be his head, she is gnawing on the side of his head.
I also think he might be wearing an astronaut helmet.
That's possible.
That's possible.
To keep the women away.
Right. Because look at that body.
War. Hey, look at that butt.
His chest sticks out farther than his belly do.
It does.
Now, if I had been asked, which I wasn't, so I'm just going
to
tell you anyway, I would assume either that is two women's figures or he's doing a handstand and that's his booty.
But his head's above?
But I didn't see that as his head.
And so you think those little triangles are his hands?
I have no idea.
It does look like a booty, but it does look like there's one nipple right there.
Oh, that's...
Hold on. Where's my mouse? Right there.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. Or it's just a mole.
He's just got pecs. He's got Captain America pecs.
So if that is a nipple, then what bulges out right below that?
I think that's
the
belly.
Other pec.
I see. I think, yeah, he's at an angle. He's got
I think
pecs.
We're going to need more beer.
Yeah.
He needed
but
less.
Thankfully, he goes into drip painting.
Oh, wait, is that a little drummer at the bottom? I need a laser light.
Oh, it
kind of
does look like it.
I need a laser light.
Should have brought our laser
where
pointer.
This
the
is
little
the
red head and then
his arms, yes, and then you see his little legs.
Yeah.
Maybe they had a child.
Do they have
it a might child? Be parents and then a child, because this was part of his therapy.
Ah, interesting.
Maybe he's painting and not
what
playing a
does
drum.
This say about his childhood?
Nothing good.
No. He feels trapped between his parents, stuck in the open door of their
and
relationship.
And he hates math.
Well, he's walking towards the math, so maybe he prefers math.
But he's screaming the thought of doing it.
Yeah.
Making his head explode.
No, that's his dad, obviously. If we've asserted that's his father. He's moving towards the math, which is why his art ended up being more geometrical. Done. I've solved it.
So that might be his mom's head exploding instead of a moon.
Maybe. Did his mother die?
I assume at some point.
Well, yes, I would also assume she died at some point.
Gosh, I would hope so, because otherwise she is really old.
Stella Mae Pollock. She was still alive at the point this was painted.
Oh, okay. All right, I got no
imagine idea. Explaining this on Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
What was with that family portrait, Jackson?
Where did it come from? Why can't we tell where your parents are? Then we have one of his more recognizable styles, which is composition with pouring, one, circa the 1940s. I did not have an exact date on this one.
Ah, yes, I've seen this one.
Mm-hmm. So this one looks like technique-wise, this is a podcast where episode where it's very good. My mom made that suggestion because there's no good way to describe Pollock in which that you could
really
visualize it.
Yeah.
But this one is mostly yellow. It looks like he painted down yellow, reds, and some blues first, over which he dripped, it looks like black mostly. But first, before that, what he did was scrape white onto it, and then slap white, and then slap the black on top to finalize. But there's a bunch of shapes underneath first.
Yeah. Yes. In fact, if you've ever seen the Facebook video where someone pokes a hole in a paint can and swings it on the canvas.
Yeah.
It doesn't look anything like that.
No. No, it does. In case you were thinking, I know what drip painting looks like. You don't.
And this one, part of the reason they call it action painting, as I was studying, is that the final piece is really just an acclamation. Is that the right word? Of everything coming together?
Like actuation. Accuation.
Accuation? Okay.
Actuality. Actuation,
well,
right?
I mean more like a collection.
Amalgamation.
Amalgamation, that's the word. An amalgamation.
I just say, I'm done.
Yeah, exactly.
Finish.
Being of the act of creating it. So you're supposed to get that from it. The piece itself is supposed to make you think of what it took to do the thing.
Is that what I'm supposed to be thinking?
I see a face right here. I see one eyeball with a blue iris, and then over here with a red
iris.
I see
a heart in the center.
And then a mouth. Oh, I see the heart, the little blue heart.
Oh, I saw an arrow. That's an arrow. That's a little.
It looks like a little angel.
Look at my eye, is what it's saying.
That's a curvy little arrow. Mm-hmm. And a little triangle.
With another eye, I think. With an arrow through it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I didn't see that as a mouth. I was just like, that's a rainbow. Because I forgot what that shape was called. What is that shape called?
What shape?
The one that's the mouth. What do you call that?
The mouth?
The one that you said is the mouth of the face. It's a rainbow. What do you call that shape?
Oh, yeah. A C.
But it's not a C.
An arch?
An arch.
But it's flat. What's the geometrical... You don't call it an arch.
A half circle?
guess. Half oval? You just call it a half circle.
A protractor?
Yeah, I mean, you would get that shape if you traced out your
protractor. It's a half circle? I don't know.
Okay.
It's a cave entrance. I would call it an arch, but...
But an arch is...
An archway with the floor.
A rainbow? Just call it a rainbow.
Okay, it's a rainbow. It's the shape of a Lucky Charms rainbow marshmallow.
It is. That's the technical term. Lucky Charms rainbow marshmallow.
I think there's a little smiley face up at the very top.
Yeah.
Right in the center. Do you know what this makes me think of?
What?
Chili peppers.
Red hot chili peppers?
Well, not the red hot chili peppers.
Oh, because it makes me think of them.
Does it?
Give it away. Oh, wait. Is that them?
I think it is.
I don't even know.
I really know
nothing about the chili peppers or Jackson Pollock.
It is.
What?
Thank you. Good job.
That was amazing.
I'm here all week.
As you have accurately stated on this podcast, we know nothing but try to talk about it.
What an amazing poll that was.
Mm-hmm. So far, you haven't mentioned anything that I know something about. But usually when I'm at home screaming at the radio when I'm listening to the podcast going, how can you guys not know this?
This is why we didn't bring anything that has to do with bones or darn muscle groups.
I know, you guys are really bad at anatomy.
Yeah. You know what's funny?
Also, it's scripture.
Yeah. Look, there are many a times where I say... Quick, we have to edit that out so Squid doesn't look like she doesn't study.
I already know. I was her teacher.
And then for anatomy, I tried to go back to when I was in my anthropology class and had to put together a whole human skeleton and name every single bone.
They were made different back then?
Yeah. Oh, okay, they changed them.
Right in the middle. This is they the just new left, model. Remember that one really long night everyone slept? They just swapped them out for everybody. They
attached to their knee bone or the arm. And
look, I was thinking pre-evolution when we were still in the sea.
I don't think we had those bones.
Just keep swimming. There's a song for everything.
There really is. And it's so good. So... It's around this time that Jackson moved out on his own. He did some traveling with a professor and went to some, not courses necessarily, but he did some experimenting at different studios. And this is where he started painting on the floor, is after this. So this one was not done on the floor, as I know.
Wait, that's impressive.
He painted on the floor?
Well, he would lay his... Yeah. His
I really know nothing about Jackson Pollock.
He didn't paint the floor.
Yeah, but he put his canvas on the floor.
No wonder he moved out is what I was thinking. Because if my kids started painting the floor, they're gone.
Yeah.
You gone.
I mean, it's not a far off thought to think that Jackson Pollock would start painting the floor. He was commissioned to paint a mural by Peggy Guggenheim. And he was going to paint the wall. Just straight up.
Isn't that what most murals are?
Does he ever explain what he is painting? The longer I stare at, the more pained faces I see.
Right?
Well, that psychotherapy didn't work.
No, it's supposed to make you think about it.
Is this like Guggenheim, like the Guggenheim Museum?
Yeah.
Nice. Is that the one that's in like Germany or something in Europe?
No.
Where is the Guggenheim?
It sounds German.
It's in New York City.
Oh.
The Guggenheim?
Mm-hmm. It's not the one that... It's not Taskmaster, because that's the one that...
Or wait, it's a different Guggenheim? There are multiple Guggenheims.
Isn't Taskmaster that show you watch?
Yes, the British comedy.
Okay, so it's...
I think there is
only Guggenheim family, but it wasn't the original Guggenheim creator.
Museum.
Solomon was the original Guggenheim creator. She was the daughter of Benjamin Guggenheim, who went down with the Titanic, and the niece of this Guggenheim Museum, Guggenheim.
Oh, this is the museum I'm thinking of. This is the one where that, like, really weird happening-ish...
Are you talking about the Skrulls again?
No. No. This was like a film that was like a happening. Maybe it was more a spectacle, because happenings just kind of happen.
Spectacles are a little more wild.
Yeah, so it's like a 6-part movie happened in the museum, or at least I think part five did. And he would like climb up the outside of it. And then that one.
Yeah, that's a spectacle.
Yeah. And he had like his mouth stitched shut fake. It was like makeup. Have you ever seen this? Have I ever told you about this?
No.
Wild experience. And there was a superstar, a supermodel, or like an athlete who she was a double amputee and they made her like special legs for this thing that were like crystal.
Oh, I remember that.
And then she turned into like a leopard. It's I'm gonna have to find it at some point because it's.
I think that was in Love, Death, and Robots.
No.
There was an episode where someone turned into an animal.
Did someone spike your beer?
You kind of have to hope that someone has when you watch something like this.
I could honestly say I've never seen this painting either.
He's done a lot.
I think that I know nothing about Jackson except that I learned to use geometry.
Yeah.
That's all I know. Done. That's a wrap.
That's all you need to know. Throwing paint at the floor.
And after looking at his paintings, I'm not so sure that my teacher taught me something true. I don't know.
Well, we are looking at more of his early stuff right now. We're building up to where we know Pollock as he is.
I see.
Because this is before he's... This is actually...
It's a slow burn.
It is. It is. Because he started getting more influence from the people around him who he trusted. So, like, in this case, a friend of his went, and who's also an artist, said, hey, don't paint it on the wall. Paint it on a canvas so that way you can move it when it's all said and done. It's not stuck in one place. And he's like, you know what? Actually, great idea. Let's do that. And so he painted it on a canvas instead. And this one is called Mural, as it would be. But this is where he also started to get his work more commissioned, more contract work. Had his first exhibition. Someone described it as volcanic. It has fire. It is unpredictable. It is undisciplined. It spills out of itself in a mineral, prodigal, not yet crystallized.
I don't see any fire, but...
I see goat heads on sticks, yeah. So I see an invading army from a satanic sort of ritual. Or
like,
something.
I see a bunch of faces.
I see a lot of nudes.
But what it makes me think of is that he just, like, painted Sunday in the Park and then...
Like, shook it around?
Then you do, like, with a marble cake with a knife. Where you can still see all of their faces. Like, I see faces clearly in there.
They all look like goat heads to me. I feel like it's...
I feel like if I stare at this long enough, I'm going to appear in a weird wooded area where something will...
Everything's going to start getting wavy around you.
I mean, they are sort of tree-like, which is why I thought they were on sticks, but...
Yeah, there is... So, for those
but
listening...
that one's a face.
If you look at this just as itself, you have mostly, like, primary colors with a neutral background in kind of, like, mid-range of tones in those primary colors. Then you have black, almost repeating lines going through it back and forth. But there's a lot there. It also makes me think of the shower curtain in my parents' guest bathroom, except it's only the lines, and you can see, like, shapes of people in them.
I wonder if Pollock gets kickbacks on shower curtains with similar artwork.
Yeah, I wonder. And it's funny
because... Does he have children? Could we look them up?
I don't think Pollock has children.
Are prank calls still a thing with caller ID? I don't know. I've been out of the loop for about 50 years or so.
He did not have any children. This is about where I was starting to get a little less angry at Pollock and just being like, okay, I can see you have some talent. I can enjoy the work as it is work. But at the same time, this is where it's like fine art, where I'm like, I don't get the hype sometimes. Where it's clearly like, you know, not everyone can make it, but it also does not blow my mind in the same way.
Right. It's the kind of art you look at and think, this man probably died a millionaire, and you can't give $5 for your podcast, right?
Exactly. Where
ring
it's
that
one
bell.
Of those...
Oh.
Go, what?
Ring that bell.
It's one of those things where it feels like everything kind of fell in place for him for this to work out. It's also something we see, like, he was traveling with professors, he was trying things at studios, he was in an environment that allowed people to scout him, which is what art collectors kind of do, is they scout, buy up early works, it brings people into being famous, but not to go too much into that. This particular one, the recommendation, I had it too low in my notes, but the person who recommended that he put it on canvas was Marcel Duchamp. So another famous artist.
He has my hands down favorite painting ever.
Yeah?
Yes.
Which one?
Nude Descending a Staircase.
Yes.
It's exactly what I look like every morning.
Love that. I feel like
only until I've had my coffee, then it really comes together for me.
I don't remember words. Yeah, so this is the crowd he hung around with. Art collectors and famous artists before he himself was one. So it kind of created this space for him to do that. Sorry, I had that little hiccup. In 1945, he marries another artist, Lenore Krasner, who goes by Lee. She was a painter herself. The name of the person that we always get right in the wrong situation, Mondrian, was a fan of her work. And she ended up putting her own stuff aside to help develop Pollock's stuff into something that was better. And we see a lot of people when they talk about her specifically after a couple decades after he passed. And after they were like, oh, I guess women can do things too.
What?
Be like, you know, Lee really shaped Pollock into what he is today. Because she really understood the art world and how it, what appealed to people, what appealed to collectors, what appealed to museums. And Pollock was really good at putting that into action with direction.
Literally. Action art.
Action painting. She was actually one of the, because he would only trust his friends to give him criticism and tell him what to do, and she was one of the few in that group. So she taught him a lot of things. She influenced him both with what he was doing, but also who he was meeting. She introduced him to people like John Bernard Myers, who was an art dealer, gallery director, and art critic. And he, that guy even said, without, or actually he said, end quote, there would have never been a Jackson Pollock without Lee Pollock for the amount of influence she had on him. So this is pre-Lee Pollock, the work we're looking at now.
Sunday in the Park, but
so she made her husband's work more chaotic, or
made it more appealing.
I see.
And unique.
Yeah.
I mean, this is pretty unique.
And then, so one of the first paintings he had to ever enter a museum collection was called Cathedral. And it was made circa 1947.
Oh, I've seen this one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I would recognize ones I've seen because I just assume they all look similar. But
they all kind
this
of,
yeah. looks more like what I imagine when I think of Pollock. So.
Right. Because she really, I feel like she helped him hone in to what was really interesting about his work. For the most part, when you look at Cathedral, the background painting on the canvas first and then adding to it is gone. It's come down to strictly the action and drip painting. It has more, I feel like you said, there's more chaos. And so there's less uniformity to it. Uniform to it? I don't know that word. To it. But where it is, it matters. And this is a case where I feel like when I'm looking at this, having named it Cathedral does influence the way I perceive it. Because I see it kind of looks like a coffin shape, but let me point it out. So you have along the bottom here, and this is mostly a black and white painting with some splotches of orange. And those are the ones that people will get in there real close and be like, oh, that orange. So intentional. But I see this shape here, especially when we look at it smaller, that you've got this kind of rectangular shape coming up in this area.
Yeah.
And it leads your eye up, and then you have swirling black around it to kind of bring it into shape. And so it gives you almost a foreground and where you have a solid base, but then it goes up into like kind of chaos.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just your mention of, like, using geometry. Like, the outside has circles.
Yeah.
The inside has squares. Or straight lines. And curved lines, however you want to phrase it.
Right. Like, you first see those straight lines the closer you get to... I don't know the best way
the
to
first
describe
thing
it.
I saw was this curved lines.
Yeah. The first thing I saw when I looked at it was that kind of rectangular shape at the bottom.
Oh, see, my eyes definitely started where it was darkest.
That top left kind of corner?
The middle.
I see the bottom left circles.
Yeah, so the middle, the circle dark starts black. At the middle.
It has movement to it, though. It makes your eyes check out all of the corners.
So you have, like, the most dark pigmentation at the middle left. And you follow it down where you find the square. And you're like, oh, that's a straight line. There's no other straight lines in these curves.
Yeah. And you feel like you've come into something.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to, didn't mean to interrupt.
But this is so much more developed than that last piece.
It is. And yet I still say, who pays for this?
Right.
Can you zoom into the right
you
side?
You still say... This is something my child could do, although they're not really something that your child could do, because I've tried to do this, folks. Don't try this at home.
Because this to me almost looked like, maybe it's because he named a cathedral, you can zoom all the way out, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it might just be because he named a cathedral, but it looks like he painted a city block on the canvas, and then he did this painting. Am I the only one seeing that?
I mean, I can kind of see it. Like, up here at the top, I kind of see, like, everything coming to a point here. Like, maybe it's a top-down version of a cathedral.
Because I was picturing, from where I had you zoom in, middle right, the block comes out towards that, and then back towards the left.
Kind of.
I don't know. And I may have hit the sauce too hard.
Well, I think this is in part why it's popular in that way. Is that, one, it was brought in front of people who would ask these questions. Like, we're definitely asking more questions and looking for more things than we would if we just saw this in passing.
But we're on a podcast.
Exactly. And the people who this was originally brought in front of were art critics and other artists who were geared up and ready to ask these questions and look for something and try and find more and judge it and see things. So when you even, if you were to compare his last piece with this one and look and see what you feel flows better, moves better, is more visually interesting, this one wins out over that last one to me.
Yeah.
It does. The last one was just almost like a repeating pattern and chaotic, but
it was a marble cake.
It did not make your eye kind of want to seek out more like this one does, where you look at one spot and the shapes make you want to go to the next shape, which brings you to the next shape, and pretty soon you've seen all four corners. The last one was just like, okay, somebody like vomited paint on a canvas or something.
And I think that's what makes Pollock more powerful in the art world, is that he has had people see him grow. He's forcibly developed, which there are people who are not in the art world that do that, but they don't have the audience to have the popularity grow with them. Like, if Pollock was developing this in his own garage with no one watching, he wouldn't have made the same level of popularity.
Right.
He would have been, you know, that person who does art as their hobby, or does it to relax, or does this or does that, but doesn't break into the art world. Like, I feel like outside of fine art, and if they had only seen the start of his work, they would want to see it grow more in order to reach that same level.
Jackson Pollock isn't about how bad he was at painting.
It was how good he became.
No. Jackson Pollock is about how much networking is the important part of the art world.
Also, yes.
It's not how well you're painting, it's who you know. That's it.
And what they can tell you.
It's about that, I think, in anything, though.
Yeah, sure.
Not to get off topic from the podcast.
Oh, yeah, we hate when we get off topic here.
Networking is so important.
She just kicked you in the ribs.
Yes, she did.
How dare she? Backtracking. Networking, as we were saying. What this made me think of, the last piece in particular, It's like Banksy, you know? You know what I'm saying?
That's what it is.
She's not listening to me.
I'm listening. You said Banksy. It's like Banksy.
I'm listening.
Okay.
Don't judge me. I'm listening.
I will.
That's fine.
The one with the primary colors down farther, that's the one I've totally seen before.
That's the same one.
This one?
It's just zoomed in.
No, keep going.
These are all the same one.
That one? It is?
Yep.
Yeah, it's just zoomed in.
I see.
This one here
it looks like red there, and it looks like orange the there. Same one.
Well, it's like, okay, so what I'm going to do.
It's just picture quality.
Yeah, and
that's
like,
probably the video that I've seen, though, where they talked about him doing the geometry and stuff. I don't know. It's still, you just look at it and you think, this was the greatest con man that ever lived.
No, Banksy is the greatest con man that ever lived, and I stand by that.
That is
neither,
true.
Neither one of them would have been popular if not for the networking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they hadn't packaged their art in such a way that put them in front of the right faces at the right time, neither one of them would have been popular.
Yeah.
Right. And this one... if I tried to sell this on Etsy right now, nobody'd buy it.
And no one would buy a Banksy piece either, unless you know it's a Banksy. Because Banksy makes crappy art. And so does Jackson Pollock.
So this one that we're looking at now is Blue Poles. It's also known as number 11. It was done in 1952, 2 years before Pollock died. So, ta-da.
That's what he said when he finished it. This makes me think of a brain.
A brain?
Yeah.
I feel like it's a blizzard with fall colors on the trees still.
Hmm.
I can see that.
Or a wildfire? I still think brain. It's like
if you turn it sideways, it would look like birds on a wire. But
true.
And if you turn it the other way sideways, it looks like bats on a wire.
Very accurate. It really depends on the way you hang it.
Yeah. And I
does think it come with instructions?
No, actually. That's why they named it number 11, is because he didn't want you to have to focus on anything.
So if you bought this for gobs of money, you wouldn't know which way it was supposed to be
hung. Does he sign his paintings?
Thanks for asking me questions I don't know the answers to.
You're welcome.
It wouldn't be a pint-sized art history podcast without some false information.
True. It's true. I mean, I know, like, not all artists sign their works in the bottom right-hand corner, but...
I mean, maybe you just know which way to hang it because it's got the little hanger on the back of it.
Yeah. The back, it just says this side up.
Yeah, this side up.
The internet says he would write his name in the middle, and then he would put his hands all on it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to the fact that it just makes me think of sperm in the, you know, distinctly male way. Not that there's sperm that isn't male, but you know.
It's like a koi pond.
You know?
Very full koi pond.
It is a very full koi pond. Very different than where my brain was going with it.
And koi are, I mean, what are koi if they're not just really large sperm?
Okay. That's a thought one could have. I just really want to know if anyone has ever held up in like a UV light to a Jackson Pollock painting. Like, that's what I mean, you know?
I'm
like,
pretty sure I've seen that CSI episode.
Yeah, like, that's what it makes me... Like, Jackson Pollock's paintings are every Super 8 motel sheets.
You know, I think that I was going to say, I feel like that's a line in so many crime shows where, like, if you put a black light on this, it would light up like a Jackson Pollock.
But has anyone lit up a Jackson Pollock painting?
No, not yet.
That's
probably
what I need to know.
It's not the
he's getting something out. That'd be more Freudish, I guess. Freudian.
Right. Freudish. And we already know he's not a Freudian. He's a Jungian.
Yeah. And true. Very true. And I'm sure Jung never said anything about sex, ever.
Not once.
Not one time.
Mm. That's why they're different.
Yep. That's it.
Jung had no issues.
Zero. Yeah. I feel like you summed it up, though, Sherry, that if you tried to sell it on Etsy, it wouldn't sell. People would be like, that is just a cheap knockoff of Pollock. And then you would have to say, okay, but what is Pollock?
I mean, I feel like
a cheap knockoff of the Super 8 Motel sheet.
Yeah.
We're popping tags.
Oh, I'm gonna pop some tags.
I don't know. I was just thinking about it smells like R. Kelly sheets.
Well, that's not R. Kelly who sings that song.
No, and it's about pee.
I know. Well, you know, the Super 8 Motel sheets? Never mind. I don't know. There's a song for everything.
I have not sung a song about peeing on sheets or doing other thing on sheets. Well, I guess technically Hotel Room by Pitbull would fall in line there.
I'm sure if you were in the Super 8 Hotel Room, I'm just saying.
Yeah. I also feel like, so, we hit the point with Pollock that I feel he was inspired first by therapy. And then they never talk about him continuing it. He just goes into his art.
But how into his art? Again, I just need to know.
Anyway. As always, with many of these episodes, we leave with more questions than answers.
Why are we here?
Why was Jackson Pollock famous?
Why was he born?
What happened to that little drummer boy in that painting?
Why didn't he have other colors of paint?
Why wasn't his wife famous instead of him?
He just uses a lot of primary and black. Yep. And I mean, maybe they didn't have a lot of colors back in 1940. Sure,
everything was black and white.
They were all working on the war effort or something. And
yeah.
Have you guys seen Velvet Buzzsaw?
No.
No.
Okay. It's a Netflix original.
And it's with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yep, with Jake Gyllenhaal. And and the premise is that this intern at a gallery finds these art pieces from a man who has committed suicide, and they were all supposed to be destroyed. It was in his will, but she takes them and she brings them to her gallery, and they start showing them, and it's her entrance into the art world. And with every person that comes in contact with it that tries to profit off of this art that he had wanted gone, they end up, it's a horror movie. It ends up like sucking them in and punishing them kind of,
like,
for their
literally
greed.
Sucking
spoilers
them in.
You know, a little bit of both. So you should watch the movie. But that's what makes me think of, it's like Pollock could be this person who was extremely internally tortured, has this stuff going on in his life, and everyone around him was pushing him towards this fame and presentation and creation. When it's like, maybe he should have just been able to go to therapy.
And if you fling some paint on some canvas like that, you got some anger issues.
Very
probably
therapeutic.
And you don't have therapeutic. To, you don't have to make money off of everything you do, especially if it's related to self-care. So when I was looking more into it and everything that went on with him, and that he clearly did not end up with all the help that he needed in the end, I was like, this makes me think of Velvet Buzzsaw.
I feel like a velvet buzzsaw would be very soft, though. So.
Oh, but only for a few seconds.
Yeah.
And then there's still a buzzsaw in general.
Yes. What's funny is that the name Velvet Buzzsaw, I feel like they picked because it was the name of a band that one of the characters was in. So it's not super related to anything, but it is kind of a killer movie name.
Literally.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
Any last words, folks?
I'm still just trying to figure it out. Aren't every time all? I look, I see something different.
Yep. Maybe that's the true mystery of Jackson Pollock.
It's not the friends we made along the way. It's the ones we can't see yet.
It's the ones that are hiding in the paintings. Go to therapy. Get some help.
Mm-hmm.
Don't become Jackson Pollock.
No. Go to therapy first, and then get well, and then become Jackson Pollock if you want to.
No, don't.
But don't stop therapy.
Be you. Don't be him.
Or be me, because it's pretty fantastic.
Or that. Yeah.
Exactly.
My mom is pretty cool.
Is there anything you would like to share, Sherry?
Way to put me on the spot.
Or promote? You listen to the podcast. You know how it ends.
I know. I have nothing to promote. I mean, maybe my blog, but
yeah, yeah.
We'll put that link down.
Peacethroughsuffering.blogspot.com. Be there, be square.
Perfect.
Learn everything you ever wanted to know about me and way, way more. Yes.
And you have an Instagram with art that you post.
I do. Yeah. Paint Creations. I think there's a little dash in there or something.
I don't think so. I think it's just Paint Creations.
I think it's Paint_Creations or dash Creations.
Squid's checking. She's doing the Googling.
All I know is my creations are pained.
Oh, it is.
If you read my blog, you'll understand why.
Pained? That's like in pain.
Not window pane.
Not window pained. Paint_Creations. Mm-hmm. She does really good paper stuff.
Yeah, and then you get to see...
I'm as talented as Pollock.
Yeah.
Yes.
And broke.
And you can see her puppy, who's here today, but is not as loud as the podcats.
That's right. Yeah.
Or Coco.
She's or mute. Coco.
She's not. Not even a little bit.
She just doesn't care as long as someone's laying with her.
Yeah, check that out. That's my mom!
Anything you'd like to promote, Squeed?
What do I have to promote?
Do you have your podcast starting or it, whatever? Something about books or?
Yes, so I'm going to be on 2 book podcasts.
Need to make a trailer.
Yes, I do need to make 2 trailers, actually, because I have
just don't live in one, especially in Ohio.
True. Or you become like the Pagemaster, which is a great movie that everyone should watch. What a throwback. Allegedly, there will be 1 book podcast coming, and then also there will be another book podcast coming very soon.
Allegedly. If Dani can finish reading the children's book that she suggested.
Yes. So we can have a big enough backlog to start releasing.
By which she means 2 episodes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
I'm waiting with bated breath.
Don't hold your breath.
No, bated breath. Okay. I don't even know what that means, but I'm waiting with
There's a worm on the end of it.
I think it's shallow.
I have a worm on the end of my breath.
Yum.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, you can look at these pictures that we have talked about on Instagram at pint-sized pod, which is spelled SAIZED, as I realized it's a weird way of spelling it, and I have stopped spelling it for you, so it's SAIZED for sized.
You've actually taught me how to spell it correctly, because I realize I think every card I've ever sent you, I've spelled your last name wrong until you started podcasting.
Oops.
SIAZ, and then...
That's like, what feels right to a lot of people, because you would think it would come first. It doesn't.
Yes, so.
And it's also us on Twitter at pintsizedpod. And you can email us at pintsizedarthistory@gmail.com.
And give us money.
Yeah. Which I will also put a link in, because it's on Ko-fi that you can buy a sticker and pay $70 so Squid can buy that movie.
Yeah, it's going to be expensive. But we're going to find it.
But it's better than a Pollock.
It is better than well.
This. Well.
And ring that bell. I've been waiting a year to say that.
Smash
hit that bell.
Smash that like button. We don't have a YouTube. So
okay.
Really.
Don't hit the bell.
Yeah. There's a bell somewhere, I'm sure.
Double tap.
Yeah.
Game with a double tap.
Yeah. Subscribe. Leave reviews. Put 5 stars on Spotify, because you can do that now.
Yeah. Leave us a review, even if it's a bad review.
It'll make me sad, but okay.
Don't worry, I'll read it instead of her. Every little bit helps.
Even though I'm the one who watches the metrics.
And we'll talk about you on another podcast.
Yeah, you can be the new Ohio.
Yeah. Wherever you're from, we'll drag
that'll
them.
That'll be you. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
I want
my money back.